Thank you for listening, TERFs and Trannies. Hey, we want to let you know that Nina and I are the featured guest speakers at Megan Dom's Unspeakeasy Retreat in Louisville, Kentucky on April 9th and 10th. The Unspeakeasy is a community for heterodox-minded women that offers a private membership community online, as well as in-person sanity spa retreats all over the country. Retreats consist of 2 days of conversation facilitated by Megan. She's an author and the host of the Unspeakable podcast and the co-host of A Special Place in Hell. Discussion topics are curated according to participants' interest and range from censorship in the arts and media to public health policy to education to our favorite topic, gender. Retreats are small, usually no more than 12 participants, and totally off the record. You have to apply to the retreat, which essentially means explaining why you're interested. There is no test. And heterodorks listeners are eligible for a discount once they sign up. Again, this is in Louisville, Kentucky, April 9th and 10th. For more information, go to theunspeakeasy.com.
Heterodorks! Heterodox dorks.
Hello, TERFs and Trannies. You're listening to Heterodorks. I am your co-host, Nina Paley, the canceled artist.
I am your other co-host, Corinna Cohn, a person who is trying to figure out how to keep children from having sex changes in the United States. And Nina, if I'm not wrong, when you said hello, TERFs and Trannies, you sounded like you said it in the plural.
I did, yes. Yes, I have faith that there's more than one TERF and more than one tranny out there.
Well, in fact, there's more than one TERF and more than one tranny in here. Because Whoa. We have two guests with us today, just like you and I, Nina. This is another, how would you say, a pet and a...
Handler.
Yeah, it's another handmaiden with a pet troon.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Well, welcome, Ava. Welcome, thank Lois.
You. Yes.
Yes, thank you.
It's Ava Korolova. Is that how you pronounce it?
Eva Korolova. Yes.
Eva.
You were very close.
Ava, like Ava yeah. Peron. Eva
There's
Korolova.
About 50 different ways to say it, which is fine.
And Lois Cardinal. Is that right?
Yes.
Like the bird.
Yes, or the baseball team or the church.
There's a baseball team with birds?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the St. Louis Cardinals, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah. They're humans, though.
Named yes. after the bird.
Yeah.
Right, now that makes, named now after it makes sense.
Right.
Because the Pittsburgh Pirates, I thought, were... Never mind.
Pirates?
Yeah, they're named after pirate birds. So, Eva and Lois are the notorious TERF tranny team of America's Hat, also known as Canada.
Yes, we are.
They're like us, but in Canada.
Yeah, not as cool.
And right, they're not as cool as us, but they're in Canada, so they are forgiven for that. But just like us, there are certain factions that find them contemptible, because no respecting TERF would have a tranny friend, and I assume no respecting tranny would have a TERF friend. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. We've kind of caused a lot of controversy and drama over the past couple of weeks, because even though we've been friends for like 4 years now, which I thought people sort of knew because we post a lot of selfies together, suddenly it's become a problem. And we've received quite a lot of contempt for it, for being friends.
So, Eva, I think you have some real turfy bona fides. Here I am. So it's like, yeah, we have to prove our turfiness now. It's not enough that it's just a vicious, misogynistic insult. No. We have to prove that we merit it. But can you say some of the work that you do for, I don't know, women's issues?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I'm a writer. That's kind of the main thing I do. And I touch on like a lot of the topics to do with gender ideology. So the way it impacts women, the way it impacts children, the way I'm a lesbian. So the way it impacts gay and lesbian people, I've written just probably hundreds of thousands of words by now, just discussing this issue, you know, on various platforms. And, you know, aside from that, I'm also just like public. My name is out there. I've done like protests in person. Lois and I, thanks to Lois, actually have spoken to the premier of our province about this issue, particularly about kids. So like, yeah, I would say that I have a lot of bona fides, and I've done quite a lot over the past about 4 years. I've got an event coming up in Toronto where I'm a speaker to speak about a book chapter that I wrote for Women's Declaration International. So yeah, that's got quite a few things under my belt.
What are some of the outlets that you write
for? Oh, so I have my own Substack. I've had it for almost a year now. So that's just evakurilova.com. I also write for Redux, which I'm sure most people know. You know, it's run by Anna Slatt. She does amazing work. So I've done it not too regularly, but here and there, a couple of months I'll do for Redux. I also write weekly for The Distance, which is another fantastic Substack of LGB United. And we also just cover like a wide array of these topics. Actually, we are slowly working on a book where it's going to be kind of a conglomeration of a lot of the writings we've done on this topic, because we've explored history. I've explored a great deal of what's going on in Canada and how we got to this point. And I also write for Gender Dissent. We're this little Canadian crew, purely voluntary. We just have a little website, and we follow a lot of the, you know, money, influence, and like political power behind the changes in Canada that have led us to this point, like where we have self-ID and things like that. So those are the main places I write for.
Huh. But clearly you're a fake because you're friends with this perverted man and woman face.
Yeah.
Hey, I hardly know her.
Someone called Lois, what was it? Like overly sexualized or pornified or something. And I was like, that, I don't know if you saw that, Lois, but it was just shocking. Pornified, they said. Yes. I saw.
Is that what they said? And they all like, they kept saying that I'm wearing woman face, but I'm like, this is my face.
It's just my face. Yeah, so because of that, I'm totally fake. I've misled people, even though, like I said, I've been friends with Lois longer than many of these people have been aware of my existence. I've been misleading. I've been lying. I've backstabbed them. I've betrayed them. And it's just a mess.
Well, we're talking about sort of tribal identities, right? And I think we all know a little bit about tribal identities, but I guess they can run multiple directions.
They can, yeah.
Like, the libertarians hardly talk to me anymore.
What do you trannies have to say for yourselves?
I've got TERF bona fides.
Exactly.
Lois has done a lot. You should talk about everything you've done, Lois.
Well, even, like, behind the... Like, I do a lot of behind the scenes. Like, I critiqued the Alberta Health Services policies surrounding gender neutrality within the system and how it disproportionately affects women and women of color, specifically First Nations women. Like, I deal with so much stuff behind the scenes that I don't put it out on the platforms that I'm on, which is mostly Twitter. And like, I'm constantly writing to the government and speaking to the governments, both federally and provincially. I'm involved with reproductive justice with Canada, with the Canadian government. That's something that I don't talk about, where it has to deal, where I'm dealing with the sterilization of First Nations people within Canada. And that's a heavy topic.
Which is not something in the distant past, but something that's happening on an ongoing basis, if I understand correctly.
Yes. The reports go up to 2019. And to me, that's very shocking, because in 2019 to 2020, early 2020 is when the pandemic happened. The only reason why it stopped and we stopped getting those reports is because of the pandemic. But there are more coming out now that the pandemic stopped or no longer became an issue. So 2022 and 2023, there are stats coming out.
Is like the transing of young people part of this sterilization?
It's also being taken into consideration. because especially for children and youth, where First Nations or Indigenous youth make up the majority of children in care. So we are having those conversations within the child welfare community and social workers. So I'm making sure that this conversation is happening about gender ideologies, gender identity, gender expression, and what it means for a person's cultural integrity. So then we break that down and we're having those conversations.
So kids in care are overrepresented among medicalized trans patients.
Yeah, we don't have like really solid stats on that, but in BC for sure there was like this one doctor who was bragging about all the kids in care that he's transitioning. And like another concerning fact is that at Canada's gender clinics, like so Indigenous kids make up I think like 7% of the Canadian population, or is it 4? I'm not sure, 4 or 7, but they make up 19% of kids at Canadian gender clinics. So
holy shit.
And this is just, these are stats published by authors who are running studies, and they're all for this. They're all for the transitioning of kids. These are the numbers they are putting out, 19%. So they're like vastly overrepresented. So it is kind of this continuation of like sterilizing Indigenous people. You know, one part of it is like this. So it's a really important conversation to have. And Lois is bringing a lot of it sort of to the forefront. And instead, when people discovered our friendship, they're like, they have no idea what we're about or what you do or what we advocate for. So it was just kind of silly to get those accusations.
How could it possibly be that the numbers are so disproportionate? Like what's the root cause?
They haven't really talked about that. I don't really know. Like, that's the thing. They're not interested in answering that, right? The people who write these studies and the people who count how many kids are there, it's like, they're not curious about like, why are they so disproportionate? It's the same thing how it's, girls are vastly overrepresented. In Canada, they made up nearly 80% of patients at the youth gender clinics versus boys. Nobody's asking why, yeah. Right? There just happen to be all these more trans boys, and then they just accept it. And it's fantastic. It's great. They get puberty blockers on first visit, then they go into hormones, and it's all just good.
I can tell you that there was a paper presented at WPATH that was expressing concern because boys are so underrepresented of the youth who are being transitioned. Wow. And that they think that there's actually a lot more boys who should be, trans girls who should be medically transitioning, right. so that it's 50-50 with the number of girls who are transitioning.
Right. It isn't concerning that there's too many girls. It's just that there should be more boys. Right. At the hearing of Amy Hamm, the nurse who's being prosecuted for her views, I'm pretty sure it was Dr. Greta Bauer. She was a witness for like the college. And so they brought this up to her. They said, okay, the number of kids who are transitioning has just completely spiked since 2015. It's just increased like crazy. And her answer to that was, well, there should be more of them. Her answer was just, well, if we say that trans people are like 1-2% of the population, then actually there should be like thousands of more children doing this. That's their answer. Yeah.
Well, I assume that there's more First Nations youth represented as trans patients, because First Nations people are two-spirited. They have the two spirits.
Hmm. Well, that's what we're also seeing within Alberta. There's a certain doctor, I don't say his name, but he is transing First Nations children
and he's First
in
Nations.
Care.
And he calls himself two-spirit. I know who you mean. Yes. So, yeah.
Why can't you say his name?
We haven't dropped the story or talked about it publicly or formally as of yet. Mm. So we're still dealing with the provincial side of things, where we're trying to create a safeguard for children. And that was the whole point of meeting with the Premier of Alberta, was to talk about safeguards and my story and how we can move forward as a province to help those that actually need it and the aftercare.
Yeah, yeah. But this doctor really gets me because he calls himself two-spirit. He's, didn't transition, totally physically normal, healthy, able to grow up, turns around and like captures these kids, who he calls two-spirit and sterilizes them. So it's just...
We have to get rid of... They have an excess spirit.
Yes.
You have to get rid of one of them.
You have to exercise it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's another thing too, is like when I confront these people or have conversations with these people, and well, what does it mean to be two-spirit for you? And what does it look like culturally to be two-spirited? I'm like, when you look at the culture that survived, that is now, that we take pride in, that survived the genocide, it's like, well, okay, we're still separated by sex/gender. So there's women's roles, men's roles, a woman's sweat, like all of this, it's divided by gender/sex. So I'm like, okay, well, where does this two-spiritedness fall in, and where are you guys taking it from?
Yeah, they really like to pretend that, like, before white people came, that, like, indigenous societies, like, didn't have gender roles, didn't have any of this stuff. And it's like, of course they did. Like you said, there's, like, different roles for men and women. There's different dances, right, for men and women. It's very sex segregated. So this idea that it isn't is just kind of like a weird ideological colonization.
Yeah, I'm surprised that there's an actual... Like, I thought that the whole two-spirit thing was like a white person concept. And I am surprised that any actual First Nations person uses that to describe themselves.
Well, we became captured with, well, everything else in the last, 5 years? And even with the Assembly of First Nations within Ottawa, they created a two-spirit council. I haven't looked into it. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous, especially if they're going to politicize a spirituality, mm-hmm. if you will, and not a mm-hmm. identity. Because at the end of the day, like, okay, well, if I'm two-spirit, what I do is, well, what is culturally significant for me and what is presented to me is the women's role. I'm always with the women, and that's fine. But also, I can touch the sacred fire and do the things that the men could do. It's just one thing that's separating me from them is I get no moon cycle. That's what it's called, a period. So I'm allowed to, like, touch things that normally women aren't allowed to, but I mostly just stick with the women. I cook and clean and do whatever has to be done ceremonially, during a ceremony. And that's that.
You're allowed to touch the things women can't, like hammers and saws and wrenches.
Well, pretty much like a sacred fire. So usually a man tends to it because a woman might be on her moon, her moon cycle. So it's like, okay, like these are things that I could do. But like sometimes I'm like, I don't like it because it's too much work. It's too much of a sacrifice. It is. To me, it's somewhat of a burden because it is a lot of work where you're waking up at 4 a.m. to go feed the sacred fire for the spirits.
I get a sense that you don't have a lot of sense of the sacred for the sacred fire, Lois. I don't know, but it sounds like you're like, the fire can tend itself if it has to.
Exactly. Yeah. But then even like certain objects where like a pipe, a men's pipe is passed down to father, son, etc. And like things like that, even with me and others, those things, they die with us. We can't have our culture die with us. There's certain things in my family that's passed down to family members, but I can't have it.
Oh, you can't have the men's pipe?
No, there's something else. Well, it's just, we call them bundles. It's a bundle. And it's over 200 years old, so it's passed down within my family. And I can't have it because I don't have anyone else to pass it on to. So I can't let it die with me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have siblings?
And I do, see, but if my siblings or my extended family, my cousins, don't want to take up the responsibility, then who does it go to?
Hmm. I'm thinking about this other indigenous people that I've heard about. I think they're called the English, and They have these nobility titles. And even when the man identifies as a woman, he still inherits the I think they call it the estate. Mm-hmm. So they have sort of a two-spirit thing going on there too.
They do.
Well, even talking about that, in certain First Nations, like bands, we call them bands, not tribes, they have hereditary rights and lots. So me, because like I was my dad's son, I would have been entitled to the land and the resources within the land. But because I transitioned and I switched my gender marker, now I'm no longer able to inherit such things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Whereas in England, you could.
Well, and that's why my username is Duchess. I'm like, I guess the title, it dies with me.
It wasn't until I was well into my later 20s that I had that realization that I am the last male in my family line. My father only had one son. It was me. And I have cousins from his brothers. But that line that was continuous down millennia, I'm a terminal node on it. And it sort of made me feel not like a failure. That's not really how it hits. But it's like if I had been an adult and had been able to have that sort of realization of just how profound sterilizing yourself is, I would not have taken it so lightly. And one of the reasons that I participate in the activism that I do is that I really don't think children, for the most part, are capable of understanding how profound it is that they have a choice of whether to bring forward this ancestry that they carry with them.
Exactly. And like with my fight and having these conversations within the child welfare system, it's like, okay, we have to have cultural integrity. And like, see, another facet of that is like birth or being able to have children. That's where reproductive justice, like it overlaps. And it's like, okay, well, where does it end, or where does it begin and where does it end? Especially if these children are so vulnerable that their caregivers are woke or captured by this ideology that they're allowing said children with FASD, autism, to pick and choose their gender identity without consequence for the future.
Yeah.
And I questioned the Alberta Advocate for Child and Youth Services. And I asked for their protocols or framework regarding cultural integrity of First Nations children, and they didn't have. There's no protocols or framework within the child welfare system. The only province within Canada that's trying is Saskatchewan.
Yeah, well, their only protocols are to do affirmation and to transition children when they ask. Like, yeah, Lois sent me these documents and I wrote a piece about it. Like, just within, like, child welfare, child and family services, literally in their documents it says, for when kids want to transition, then you affirm, you get them the hormones, you get them the puberty blockers, even surgery it mentioned. And this, we're talking about minors. And so the way that the trans movement takes, like, sterilization so flippantly is just crazy to me. Because, like, yeah, like, you both know the ramifications of that, of realizing, you know, I've sterilized myself. And something I've had to come to terms with is when I hit 30, I was like, I want to have babies, but I'm lesbian. So that proved kind of tricky. But at least I'm not having to deal with the reality that when I was younger, I made a choice to actually make that, to close that off entirely. At least I do still have a possibility of potentially doing that. And it just breaks my heart because so many kids like me, so many kids like young Lois, or kids that have autism, or kids that, you know, have other issues, this is just being sold to them as it's no big deal. You know, if you're 10 years old, yeah, you probably say, I don't want to have kids and I never will. And then you turn 30 and you change your mind. So I don't know, the way that they just take it so lightly, like it's no big deal, is just, that is part of the reason why I'm also in this fight, because I just can't believe that we're doing that to young people.
Lois, how old were you when you medically transitioned?
I was 19 and I had bottom surgery when I was 21.
And did you think about this? Like, were you old enough to comprehend what?
No, I never ever thought about it, nor was it brought up during the sessions to talk about, oh, well, 10 years from now. So I never ever considered it until it was gone. And then I started to find myself in my culture and starting to create this stable foundation of my own identity. Like, it was such a shocker, like, after having surgery and stuff like that. Okay, like, who am I? What am I? Especially with regret. Nobody talked about that. So then, of course, you had to navigate the world and within our T community, if you will, like, okay, well, what does this mean?
Did you have a lot of contemporary First Nations people who had also transitioned?
No, I didn't know anybody. I didn't even have like a gay friend. Like, I was the only one. I had to be the whole LGBT here. I had to represent everybody.
How did you find your way to transing? I mean, were there people eager to groom you?
No, this was like, so back in like 2007, like way back when, there was no online communities. Like, we just had like, does everyone remember like the chat rooms, like Yahoo chat room, MSN, like all mm-hmm. that good stuff? Like, that's all I had. And like, there was no community for me until after I already transitioned. So I'm like, my problems, nobody else is talking about them. And then when I would talk about them, they would shut them down. It's like, we're not supposed to talk about regret or stuff like that. It's like, you should be happy that it was covered. And like, woe is me, I can't get it covered because I live in this country. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I'm trying to find a community that doesn't exist mm-hmm. or won't allow, or they won't allow to exist.
When you set out on your path to transition, were you looking for some other sort of therapy or psychological support, and they helped you come up with the idea of transitioning, or did you seek them because you were trying to find somebody to help you transition?
I sought them out personally for transition. So I had a doctor, the one that referred me to, he had a previous patient who transitioned, who went through the same process. So he referred me to the clinic. Mm. And like, that was my intent, was to transition, but not at the speed that it was. Like, there were a lot of hiccups with the whole assessment and everything. Like, if I can go back in time, I would slow everything mm-hmm. down, where I can have time to breathe and comprehend what was mm-hmm. happening.
Did you think you were going to actually become female somehow?
Not female, but a version of myself that I was no longer dysphoric about, especially with my genitalia. Like, that's where my dysphoria was with my genitalia. And like, I didn't think I'd ever be a woman. I just thought I'd be a version of myself that I found acceptable and I was able to mentally accept.
Did that work?
I'm still waiting to find out.
Well, according to the Twitter mob, you think you're a woman and you steal our words and you wear woman face and like all of that. Yeah.
I know. And like, to me, I'm just an adult human male woman.
Yeah, I sometimes, some people are horrified by this language, but I have thought like, okay, one way to describe Corinna is he is a feminized eunuch, right? A eunuch is a man, castrated man and then feminized because there's exogenous hormones added to the mix.
Other people, Nina, describe me as a genius and a visionary, but you describe me as a feminized eunuch.
Uh-huh. Well, there, you know, you can be a genius, visionary, feminized eunuch.
A rarefied class all your own.
Yeah. That's funny. I was just talking to Shannon Thrace about eunuchs yet again. Eunuchs have been such a part of history, I think.
Oh, I love her.
I think most or all cultures have had eunuchs and roles for eunuchs. And today we don't have them, right? If it's like the closest thing we have to eunuchs is trans women or trans medicalized men, but they're supposed to have a cross-sex identity just the same.
Yeah, it's just like it has to come out in the culture somehow. Although now it's kind of taken this life of its own and gone totally wild and loose.
We used to be advisors to kings.
Yeah.
And they did them, in many cases, they did it when they were young. And the boy didn't have much say in the matter.
No.
And not all of them lived through it.
Well, unfortunately, we're finding that with some of these surgeries as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of I wrote a piece for The Distance on like the castrato during the like 16th to 18th centuries. They would take young boys with nice singing voices and castrate them so that they could keep those singing voices and sing in the church choirs, and then later they went to sing in the opera. It was just like today, like that went on for hundreds of years, and today we would look back on it horrified, as sort of what I commented, like, I can't believe we did these to these boys. But honestly, as I was researching it, I was like, I feel like what we're doing today is even worse. Because at least you could tell that little boy, like, oh, we did this so you could have a shot at fame and glory. You know, oftentimes it was poor families putting their boys into these programs. It doesn't excuse it. I still think it's crazy. But today, you know, you might have a boy grow up and regret what had happened. And all that we can tell them is, you chose this. We were just doing what you wanted. We were just listening to you. We affirmed, like, this was your true self. So it's almost worse. At least back then, you could grow up and be like, okay, well, I had a singing career or a chance at one. So yeah, in researching that, I was just pretty horrified at what's going on.
I think it's even worse, because as these children progress into adulthood and they start looking for answers from their family, they're not only going to be told, you chose this, we're only doing what you wanted, but they're also going to be told, well, you would have killed yourself if we hadn't done this. And so those families will not take any responsibility at all for being active participants in the choice to medicalize their children, because they will shield themselves under this really flimsy blanket.
That's what often bothers me, the kind of shrugging off of responsibility. You know, the parents point to the clinician that told them to do it, or like the teachers, or everyone just pointing fingers at each other. And like, the buck has to stop somewhere. I do feel like, I feel for parents in this situation. I know many parents whose children have tried to transition and they've tried to stop it. And like, doctors have flat out threatened them. Like, your child will kill themselves. You know, I spoke to one mom the other day, and the doctor, literally upon giving her son hormones, was like, if you fight this, I will testify against you in court. Like, but still, you know, this mom is fighting this and she's not willing to do that. But so I have a really hard time dredging up sympathy. Because that's your kid. Like, the responsibility should stop with you. And it should also stop with the doctors and the teachers. Nobody should be doing this. But the excuses are just a little bit tired now.
Yeah. In 2019, they might have been easier to rationalize. Yeah. We don't know a lot. These experts are giving you the wrong information, but you're not able to make a reasonable assessment of your child's care. Mm-hmm. But 5 years later, there's been enough criticism of the alleged science that parents who really want to understand both sides of the issue have an opportunity to do so.
They do, yeah. There's so many books out there. There's so many resources out there. There's so many organizations now. Like, even the mom I was talking to was saying, like, yeah, several years ago when my kids started this, there was nothing. But now there is, like, Genspect, and there is, you know, as much as they're under fire lately too, there's a lot more out there for people to read.
Lois, shortly after I learned about your existence on Twitter. You were tweeting about getting MAID, the Canadian Medically Assisted. What does it all stand for?
Medically assisted.
Medical dying. Medical assistance in dying.
What?
Medical assistance.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, medical assistance in dying. Yeah. Can you talk about that project?
Okay, so I applied for it last year in January. So, but the assessment started in February. So it was a 90-day assessment or waiting period. And during that time, the team, it's called a team, but I can't give out names because it's just like those who provide abortions and stuff, like, you know, you just don't give out the name. So that's like, well, we have that here too, where certain doctors don't refer women to the clinic. You know, they would have to send them to another doctor to refer them to the clinic. And so anyways, the main team, I just had enough. I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm experiencing physical pain. I've experienced stuff within the 2 years that I had to resolve on my own because there was no medical help or expertise. And I'm like, I was done. I'm done. I met my mental and physical threshold, and I'm like, I'm done. So then I sought out medical assistance in dying, and looking at the requirements, I fit them. So I sought it out myself. Nobody talked me into it. Many people tried to talk me out of it. AFA. But like I get it. Like, I'm still past my mental and physical threshold. And to me, it's a big question mark what tomorrow holds. And like going through the whole process, seeing their so-called specialists, traveling, you know, and then at the end having nothing. So being back to square one, but with a file that says it's a human rights issue. So where do I stand? Where do I go from here to access healthcare that I tried? I tried to see a urologist, but he denied me and wants me to see the doctor who reclassified my sexual orientation from homosexual to asexual.
What?
I'm like, I don't feel safe with her. Like, it's like, there's no help. There's no aftercare. And that's something that I'm working towards too, is the aftercare for people like me and also trans men. So what the aftercare, where do we go? How do we get healthcare specific to us and our needs? And I don't want to become a champion of that either. Like, I'm still like, you know, I'm like, YOLO, I'm just like, here's MAID. I'm like, I'm in. But then I'm being offered all these other things, like I have to clean or I'm a bridesmaid. I'm like, that's not the MAID that I wanted. This is the MAID that I got.
Wait, so when you said you were back to square one, you were turned down for MAID?
Yes, but then I had resources, if you will, like numbing cream that doesn't work, but I have to make sure that I use it so that I'm trying their methods.
I see. And then, so they said you're not suffering enough to be put out of your misery yet, so you have to do some other things.
Exactly.
And that's why you made friends with a rat fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can just remind you that you're a man, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I see. So in Canada, okay, the TERF Tranny team in Canada, you will use the medical system to determine that you've suffered enough. And they'll put you out of your misery. What we have here in the United States is I'm just trying to genocide Corinna. Yeah. Just by continually misgendering or correctly sexing.
There's no state support.
Yeah.
There's no state support for it, right? See, down here, the TERF has to do it herself.
Yeah, well, we're socialists.
Pretty much with her own bare hands and her wits.
Yeah, I can ask the government to help me, so... That's the main difference between our two countries. I'm going to ask Trudeau.
To be fair, I'm lucky. I don't have medical complications. I'm not surviving in pain, aside from the text messages that Nina sends me daily. I think I'm objectively in a better state of health than you are, Lois. But these procedures, they don't really tell us what the side effects are going to be very clearly. It's just maybe this dry piece of paper that we don't actually hear from anybody that suffered these complications, what it's like to have to live with them on a day-to-day basis. And so it's so abstract that it's hardly something that you can even fit in your brain to consider. Mm-hmm. But this is something that you're living with on a day-to-day basis, which has a significant impediment to your quality of life, right?
Exactly. And like when the doctors or the clinic is talking to us about the aftercare, it's usually up to 2 years. So we have to expect certain complications or this stuff within this time frame. Well, what happens 15 years after? Why are we experiencing this stuff? Like I've gone on to 15 years after, like I'm 15 years post-op now. So I'm like, okay, well, nobody's talking about us that transitioned decades ago. There's no follow-up. There's no information about it. It's slowly starting to be talked about because we are aging and this population, well, we're getting older, just and there's older people that are getting surgery. And it's like, okay, well, now we have to look into it because, well, what does an aging population with vaginoplasty look like? And even when I had a neurological event where I forgot which genitalia I had, I'm like, I can't get old. I can't get old in this body with this healthcare system.
I feel that.
What do you mean by that? You can't get old?
Well, what if I develop dementia or Alzheimer's, like things like that. And I'm like, and I can't physically dilate. Like that is number one. Like we have to dilate. Like it's really sad that our week ends with a dilation or it begins with a dilation. It's every week for the rest of our lives. So what does that look like when I'm mm-hmm. old?
This is maybe getting into territory that's fairly technical, but I don't do that.
You don't dilate?
Mm-mm.
Is it open?
it is, but my understanding is that it's sort of a crapshoot whether it heals closed or not.
Yeah.
I don't see it either, but I also don't dilate.
Like when it first happened, like when I first experienced intense pain, I don't want to call it a collapse, but it just, I lost depth. So something happened within the canal and it hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So regardless if I was dilating or just walking around, it hurt.
Our bodies, we don't have female bodies. They are not designed to have a cavity inside of them. And so these extraordinary measures that are used to create mm-hmm. this facsimile, it shouldn't be done except in the case of medical necessity. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that I can justify at this point that there was any medical necessity to having my genitals removed, having my main source of hormone creation removed, and living the rest of my life as an opt-in medical patient. Like I can't justify it at all,
mm-hmm.
at all.
Well, I was personally, like I went with Lois to see a specialist here in Calgary. Supposedly a specialist about this stuff, right? And like the gynecology department of the hospital. And like she was nice enough, but she really couldn't do any more than, you know, have a look. And that's the one who gave you numbing cream and said use some vitamin E. And like this is the specialist who like you got sent down here to see, who really just couldn't offer anything of use. Like you described that you were in pain and all that, and that was her best thing she could say. Right. Or then she said, well, maybe you should go back to Montreal. That's all she could really mm-hmm. offer you. And this is the specialist. Right. So.
I don't know. Like, okay, talking about like transition and everything, like I was looking for a sense of self, like a sense of identity, like, oh, maybe I'll be more myself if I became a quote, a woman. But after everything, I feel more gender nonconforming than anything. I just feel like myself, like just Lois.
Yeah, well, that's how I think of you too. I mean, I use female pronouns for Lois just because that's easiest for my brain. That's me and my partner decided that long ago, like, okay, this is just someone that we just respect. We're just going to say that. And that's how I speak to my friends. But I have friends who don't. I have friends who in a private conversation will refer to you as he and him just out of principle. And this is what's so funny. One of the rumors that was circulating is I'm demanding people refer to my friend in a specific way, right? I'm just demanding it. And I'm like, if only you guys knew. Like, I don't care. My main goal is to not control how anybody talks. And to just, you know, that's why I'm against preferred pronouns, because it's a coerced speech. And so that's why I'm, even though I understand the other side and the principles and all that, that's why I'm also against it from, like, my team. Right. But that me voicing that turned into this rumor that I just demand people use, you know, female pronouns for men, basically.
Lois, I use male pronouns for you. So with any luck, I will genocide you from the United States and you will not have to worry about mate at all.
God willing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'll start doing that too.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of friend are you?
Terrible one.
Nina jumped me into a gang beginning of 2022. I think you formed a gang, Nina, that was called the Turf Tranny Alliance.
Oh yeah, the Turf Tranny Alliance. Yes.
I like that.
And you made a logo for it. I was in Ireland, I think, at the time that you were working on all of this.
No, I think you were about to go to Ireland, and I didn't have the pins made in time for you to take them.
That's right. And so I wasn't paying a ton of attention to this because I had other things that I was working on. And so you announced the Turf Tranny Alliance, which really was sort of tongue in cheek, because you're mocking the fact that all of these tribal infighting that happens in the gender community, the rad femmes, all the animosities that ebb and flow. And so the Turf Tranny Alliance had a serious component to it, but it sort of had a joke component too, because I think you said that the purpose of it is to self-immolate.
We're well on our way. It's taking a while, but we'll get there.
Oh, we'll get there. I remember that. Did you get like a lot of like shit for that, for the Turf Tranny Alliance thing?
I got so much shit for it. I was shocked. I was really shocked. Wow. So I use Spinster. I'm technically a moderator at spinster.xyz, the woman-centered social network on the Fediverse. Mm-hmm. And so many women blocked me.
Oh, wow.
On Spinster, that it's kind of hard for me to read threads because,
shit,
you know, half of the responses just aren't there. I persist anyway. Well, maybe not half, but there are certain high profile people who blocked me, and it's just very annoying. It's not that big a community. It's very annoying. Wow.
I had no idea. Like, when people say that, oh, everybody stop fighting, why is everybody fighting all of a sudden? We've always been fighting. We've never stopped fighting. We're always fighting each other. Like, it's just not really a new thing, especially on this issue.
Yeah, women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, women. What can you do?
What can you do? Yeah, and on Twitter, others, you know, I've been denounced. But I got more denounced, my denouncements were enhanced when I guess, defended or opposed people freaking out over a man wearing a dress at GenSpect.
Yep.
I just was like, look, we keep saying it's okay if men wear dresses, and it is okay if men wear dresses. And this is,
as long as the dress is appropriate to the occasion.
You know, I have one of those dresses now. It's been winter. It's too cold, but I got the exact make of that dress. So when it's warm enough,
oh my God,
I'm going to wear it.
It was the exact same dress?
Yeah, I have these here.
Oh my God. I love that picture so much. Yeah, go get it. Oh my God.
See, this is how Nina tortures me, because now I'm going to have to edit all this stuff out or at least figure out how to this into a, yeah, this is normal. She'll get her cats to like rub against the microphone. I got to take all of that out.
I'm surprised mine are leaving me alone. She's sleeping right here on her little cat tree. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's too cold to actually wear it.
That's amazing.
But this is it. It is a Grace Karin electric blue synthetic velvet stretch dress.
Is that a brand that is like a known brand? I haven't heard of that
brand.
Yeah,
it's a thing. They had a lot of stuff on Amazon. Amazon no longer sells this model, but I got it on sale off the website. I think it's on, they're clearing them out.
I thought it was so amazing that you did that. I didn't even know it was the same dress. That makes it even better. People were freaking out.
Well, I did. I had another dress. I had like an interim dress that I got from Amazon because I needed quick delivery. But, you know, it took them like 2 weeks to send me this one. But yeah, it's just too cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it just seems like being friends with our friends should be okay. It should be okay to have friends, and it should be okay to have, you know, liberal values. And the things that have enraged people. But then again, the fact that I enraged people by saying women don't have penises,
yeah,
that was similar, and that used to be my side also. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
And like I said, Nina, you'd make people so much happier if you just said most women don't have penises.
Some women women don't have penises. Some. Yeah.
Almost none. Almost
if
no.
If you don't.
Mm-hmm. Some don't. Increasingly, though. Increasingly, it seems that they do. But you can't blame them, because with stories like Lois's, why would they want to go through that?
Yeah. That's true. Better just keep it.
Just keep
it.
Or
just be a woman.
Yeah, just be a woman. Just say you're a woman.
Lois, do you find that you are rejected by the trans community?
It depends. Like the new age ones, yes. The older ones, more old school transsexuals, like we get on just fine. But like, again, I'm not looking for community approval or support. And that's like another thing, like with this whole hate that Eva and I have been getting. I'm like, worry about your own friendships. Y'all's are based on on backstabbing and instability. And like, then there's Eva and I. We're just like laughing and just sending each other. Like, I don't know. We're just worry about your own
Well, you
friendship.
Know, they've all like turned on each other now. Now they're calling each other like racist. One was getting shit because like she was going after you and you're indigenous. So then she was like, no, I love indigenous people. And she started posting like photographs. And I was like, and this was like, we had ignored and blocked all of them. Like, I don't think I ever quote tweeted anybody. And they just slowly like self imploded. And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Like, what else was going to happen, really? Because they don't worry about their own relationships and their own. They're busy worrying about us and other people and you guys. Right? So it's bound to happen.
One of them, I'm not going to mention her name, but she had done a number of YouTube videos on me, which I think were not charitable in any sense. I think they're mean-spirited. And Nina, if you really want to kill me, you should dig up some of her old videos. And she's got tutorials on how to mistreat people. But, well, I mean, not deliberately. Oh. She's not, just by... leading by example. And I was wounded by how she was referring to me. And I noticed that she would regularly turn on some of her followers if they offered any sort of word of criticism or disagreement in her comment sections. Mm-hmm. And I described her on Twitter as being a narcissist. And she was continuing to make videos about me. And I don't know what I did to her brain, but me calling her that caused like this huge arc for her about her investigating what narcissism is about and who of her enemies are narcissists. And she made a video about me calling me a narcissist. And I thought, no, this is normal behavior, I guess. This seems fine.
See, that's why I didn't push too hard with that one, because I know that I would just make her go crazy. Because after days and days of abuse, of attacking me, I finally, one single time, called her a clown. One single time, responded to her. That's it. And like, I mean, I had already blocked her and muted her and all this, but she went off. Like, she was crying about that forever. She's like, I don't name call people when I go after them. She name calls people. And she was just like ranting and ranting. I'm like, wow, I really broke you with that one single word. It's the one time we interacted, because I was just like, you're a clown. And then some of the women who were hating me was like, oh my God, this like prominent feminist called a black woman a clown.
Wow.
It turned into that. And so she got hundreds of likes, right? And I'm like, I don't even know if people know what this is about. But I was like, wow, one word, right? And then she just spiraled. Yeah. So that's been fun.
Yeah.
Look at our leaders. Whoa.
So has this impacted your reach, your following, your work? Is it anything more than just Twitter bullshit?
No. No, I think both of us, right, Lois? No, it was just Twitter bullshit. I think some people unfollowed me. I don't really care. The ones I noticed, I was actually quite happy. I had been looking for ways to break ties without causing drama. So I was like, that's fine. Still going to the event. This podcast came about as a result of that. I've got another one tomorrow and another one the next day. So, if what they were trying to do really backfired. It's just been positive.
Yeah, so they're helping to enhance your image by giving you some attention.
Yeah, they really are. And honestly, like, out of the whole mess, I mean, I was busy, I wasn't paying attention. No, but honestly, out of the whole thing, like I said, I was ignoring it, but then they started to bring like my friends into it, like Anna Slatz. They were like, hey, she needs to like be off Redux and all this. And so Anna kind of started, she wrote like this really nice like essay about me. And that started kind of a few people publicly coming out and being like, this is all nonsense. And just probably like messages. Like, I didn't need anybody to say anything publicly. It was all silly. I didn't need their defense. But I got a lot of super nice messages. Also, people asking to like pass on to Lois that, you know, so sorry that this is happening. You guys don't deserve it. This is insane.
I've never seen any of that.
I told you.
Yeah, you didn't pass it on to Lois.
You're a liar. I told you. Come on. Anyway, people were really sweet. And so all in all, those people were able to show themselves for just being just angry and unhinged and ranting. And, you know, it was really tough, but I tried my best. We discussed, look, we're just going to mute and block these people and not get involved, because I don't want to be spamming everybody's feed with all this stuff. Like, I seriously didn't see even half of it. Friends would inform me, like, here's what they're saying about you. They're so upset you're not interacting with them and you're joking around and you're laughing. And like, what am I supposed to do? You know, and recently I saw one of them, a main one, I won't name names, but she was like, oh, you know, I can rehabilitate her. You know, if Eva wants to come back, like, I'll rehabilitate her. Lois is a lost cause, you know, but I'm always willing to help a woman in need. And I'm just like, I don't know, that, again, I didn't want to like say anything and just annoy people, but that really just, if I can, like, that really disgusted me, because I was like, yeah, you're going to rehabilitate me. Like, you're going to, what, end my friendship and cause me to change my mind about, like, my really, really deeply held just ideas and, like, philosophy of life, basically. So that was quite fun. So I don't know if they're still going. I've got them all blocked, but I'm sure there's been more video. There was, like, 4-hour spaces held. There was 3-hour live streams held. Mm-hmm. I was having dinner last week with a friend. He was like, you know, they had a 3-hour live stream about this stuff. I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
It made me feel important. It really made,
yeah.
And they would be like, they would refer to me as like a high profile feminist or like a leader in the movement. I'm like, I don't even think of myself in these terms. You guys are really boosting my ego here. Like, this is all just positive.
So what they do seem to say over and over about Corinna, and I assume Lois also, is this like perversion thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, all well, they don't say trannies. I think tranny is just too lighthearted for them. But yeah, that you're all, they're all perverts. Even the homosexual, homosexual young you know, possibly deluded when they were youngsters ones. And why? Like, why? Especially when they claim to, well, they bandy about the term autogynephilia, mm-hmm. and autogynephilia is in that type of transsexual was in contrast to homosexual transsexuals. So the very fact that they use that word autogynephilic should indicate that, you know, they buy into the two types typology. But they just really want to say that any man that has, I mean, I don't want to say trans-identified because I don't think Corinna's trans-identified.
I mean, if I'm applying for a loan application, sure. No, I'm kidding. My documentation, I haven't changed it all back to male. I actually haven't changed any of it because it doesn't make any sort of difference on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, but that's different than, like, when I think of a trans-identified man, I think of a man who really thinks he's a woman, really believes he's a woman, or believes that he is. Well, I guess that, like, you don't even believe in true trans, right?
Like, no, I don't believe in
true trans. I don't believe in true trans either. That's something they love to tell me that I believe
in
true trans.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Once they have that accusation, then that's the go ahead for them to just abuse you because you're a true trans, or, you know, you're bad and that's it. Yeah. They've been saying that about me too.
I mean, what I do believe is that there are irreversible medical procedures that if somebody has had them, they can't be reversed. And they have, like, a huge impact on their life and appearance. And so, yeah, when I refer to someone as a tranny or transsexual, I'm talking about those people. And people change as they get older, but you changing your mind doesn't change your body back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to talk because sometimes you'll try to differentiate and say, like, trans-identified or, I don't know, transsexual, or somehow to denote that this is a person who has made physical changes. And then these women will jump all over you and be like, just say man. Or like, well, okay, but if I just say man, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. If I just say a certain type of men shouldn't be in women's face, like, it just doesn't really make sense. They even jump on you sometimes for saying trans-identified. They're like, well, you should just say man, you should just say male. Well, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Right. And so that's where I get really trying to get out of this tribal grasp of, like, language, because then you can't even speak. I always just say some flavor of trans, you know, either you're trans-identified or you've transitioned physically in some way, or, and they really like to, just like they like to paint us as true transers, they really like to paint every man like that as AGP, because then you can say whatever you want. Then you can just write them off. You don't have to respect them. You can just abuse them.
Yeah, I was so wounded by some of these accusations that I ended up closing my OnlyFans.
Oh, Lois is going to open an OnlyFans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird. What?
But until then, you have to use your imagination.
Yeah. That's what you told me today.
It sounds quite horrific, to be honest, Lois.
We're trying to raise some money, okay?
All of these women saying there's no trans, don't use the word trans, just say men. That is why I offered feminized eunuch as
there you go
a possibility, but that didn't catch on.
It's a shame.
It's got to be it has to spell something like Tim, right? Or Tiff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's an F and a E. Feminized eunuch male. Femme.
Yes, perfect. Perfect. I don't see how there could be any objection to that.
All right.
I'm just barely resisting going out to Twitter. Right
now. I'm already on Twitter right now doing it. Yeah. Let's go
Tims
on after
and
this.
Femmes.
They'll kill us.
So, Eva,
I think
Lois,
we have the.
I have a very important question to ask you about being a TERF tranny team. Mm. Do you have matching costumes?
Oh, I don't think we do. Oh, no. We did, like, dress up totally the same for our Benjamin Boyce interview, but that was about
it. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we're going to go dress shopping together, and they're going to kill us for that, too.
I'll say that Corinna has been imitating my dressing habits of late. Mm. Yeah.
Of fabric choices more than dressing styles.
Yes. Well, fabric's important.
Impotent.
No. Fabric's important.
We have very different styles.
I'm a big fan of merino wool.
Me too. My socks are of that fabric.
Everything I am wearing, everything on my body right now, except the synthetic blue dress on my lap, is merino wool.
It's a fantastic choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be our uniform, merino wool. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just thinking like theme costumes. I don't know if you've ever seen the 4-H alpaca competitions in the United States.
You showed.
Maybe they have them in
Canada. I saw a picture.
Too.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You so dress up your llama.
You dress up your llama and you wear matching costumes. It's part of the alpaca programs in state fairs.
Let's do it, Lois.
But I just figured, you know, if Corinna's my pet trans. Mm-hmm. And I'm his handler, then, you know, we should have matching costumes.
We should. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll be Ash Ketchum and Lois will be Pikachu, just like that photo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so cute.
I have the Ash Ketchum costume because I'm a grown-up child, and so Lois just needs to get a Pikachu costume.
All right. Well, then we can have the international North American turf tranny competition.
Yeah we're ready.
But I think we might win.
I don't know, we'll see.
We need some judges.
Yeah. We do need some judges. Who should judge it?
Our haters from last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we should have some our rad femme haters and our trans activist haters.
Yeah we need both.
Yeah we should set this up.
And then tag them all on Twitter and mention them every day.
And then cause another war.
Yes.
Go on. I'm just wondering if there are other turf tranny teams around the world and we could have an international convention.
I'm hard pressed. I don't know, like that photo that caused all of this, Julie Bindel and Kathleen Stock and that one tranny, isn't he a friend of Julie Bindel's? I'm not too sure.
Nah, not close.
No.
Neither
of
them have pet trans.
No, that's true. I think we're pretty unique here. I think there's too many.
Well, okay. So listeners, if you are a turf tranny team or if you know other turf tranny teams, please let us know.
We feel very alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome because, you know, we're dominating the world at this point. But I suspect there are others, and especially if there are others from other lands, I would like to have a contest.
Well, there are others. One of my main haters came out with the fact that she does have her own little pet troon, and he's crazy. So, like, he, like, waves guns around and stuff. And so she was on my case for being friends with Lois. And she's like, well, I think this guy's just funny and awesome and cool and quirky. And then photos surfaced of him, like, I just don't want to, like, give away too much because I don't want to talk about them. But it was like, that's your pet trans and I'm in trouble for mine.
Yeah, your pet trans sucks.
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't even dig that up. I didn't post anything about it. But as they started eating each other, this information came out. Like, well, this is who you're friends with. So,
was that slightly twisted female?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. I think I saw her going on about that.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a she's a nut. I mean, there are a lot of nuts.
There's a lot. It's a lot.
I would never say that. I respect women way too much to say
that's
that.
That's right.
I'll
you
say
would
that.
Just say. Bitches be crazy.
I do say that.
Yeah.
Bitches be crazy.
But I'm talking about dogs. Dogs, not humans. I would never say that about humans. But when dogs go into heat, Nina, as you know, they start acting strange. And that's all I was talking about. I would never say that about an adult human female.
Mm-hmm. I like how you say, as you know.
As you know.
Because I'm so
you're my witness.
Dogs. Now, I used to go in the heat. But I've been spayed.
I saw an interview where you talked about that. Yeah.
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 I forget what it was, but I did.
Well, the dog catcher picked her up and she wasn't tagged.
Later this year, well, spring or summer, there should be a book coming out from Detransitioners and Regretters. Mm. And my story is part of it.
Oh, did you write something?
Yeah, I submitted my story for the book. I don't know the specifics. And I can't remember who asked me, but I did it. I honestly don't know. Like, you know me, I'm just like, okay, I go with the flow. And then afterwards, I'm like, who was that? Like that old man that picked me up from the airport. Whoa. Like, I don't know who this guy is.
What?
Like, there's no stranger danger for me. I'm like, okay.
It wasn't as weird as Lois is making it sound. This was somebody connected to the premier's office. It was fine. Lois was safe.
Yeah, I didn't know who. I'm like, well, I could just went missing and whatever.
It's okay. I knew who it was. I'm your handler, and it was totally fine.
I have strange old men in my neighborhood inviting me to take rides in their cars, but I say no.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, yeah, I'm like, YOLO.
Well, I'm sure that whoever's still listening to Heterodorks at this point, after we've tried to alienate them repeatedly, Nina. Mostly me, but just mostly. Because I didn't edit the podcast in time. I feel like a dog who's like just got in trouble for peeing on the rug. You're giving me that look.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just spacing out.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
You're fine.
Yeah.
All right.
What? Am I supposed to be like, bad tranny, bad tranny. Well, edit the podcasts faster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's winter, and I know the fact is that you semi-hibernate in the winter.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to snap out of it, though.
It's not time yet.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not, but I'm trying to get testosterone from my new doctor. Oh. Yeah, anyway, that's future adventures. But for our listeners who are interested in the adventures and activism of Ava and Lois, how can people learn more about what you do?
Well, I'm all over Twitter. I'm just at Eva_Krylova. That's my, and then I've got my Substack links from there and all the other places I write for. So that's the best place to find me and connect with me.
Lois?
And for myself, I'm on Twitter at Duchess_L, or you can Google my name. Or you can find me in the obituary.
Yeah. I was going to say, everybody
not yet.
Help Lois die by referring to him as he.
I've tried so hard to make this not happen. When Lois told me, I was denied for maid, I was like, I'm not sorry. I know you're not happy about it, but it's fine with me.
Well, maybe that's why you're not correctly sexing him.
Yeah.
It's because of a sentimental desire for him to not die.
It's probably
I don't have that. I'm all about the genocide.
And for those that are watching, someone's going to be like, why is Lois so smiling? I just have one of those faces where I'm like smiling. I can be like, I'm dying. And I'm just smiling all the time.
So this is an audio only podcast. Unfortunately, Lois, your beautiful visage, which is indeed beautiful. Lois has like the best lit video presence I have seen in a long time. Yeah, that's all going to be lost.
Sorry.
But take it from us. Oh. He's been smiling because he's crying inside.
Exactly.
I can only imagine. I mean, really, I've had a number of urinary tract infections in my life and they are painful as hell. And yeah, if that's my starting point to imagine crotchal pain.
Dying inside.
It sounds very bad. But I'm only saying that because I want to aid and comfort the perverts.
I haven't had a UTI before, but...
You haven't had a UTI? About...
No, I haven't.
I just don't believe it. It's like they can go, they can like literally go in there and like cut up your parts and you don't even get a urinary tract infection.
I do what my mom taught me, which is one, wipe front to back, mm-hmm. and two, use a Clorox wipe.
Oh, that seems that seems Clorox. A little harsh. That seems a little over the top.
That's nice and bleached after 30 years, yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever had one either, and I'm not bleaching down there, so.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's just luck of the draw.
It is just luck of the draw.
I didn't need any surgeons going at me. I just had them naturally.
Oh, God.
Clorox wipes, Nina. I'll send you some.
No, please don't. Actually, not remember Nonoxynil 9? Maybe you don't. People actually, you know, somebody has complained about me talking about my sexual past. Oh. But you'll just have to suck it up, listener. So back in my day.
Figuratively.
When AIDS was freaking everybody out in San Francisco, and I lived in San Francisco, we were all encouraged to slather Nonoxynil 9 all over everything because that was supposed to protect us from AIDS.
Whoa.
And as one person said, the active ingredient of Nonoxynil 9 is Tide. We were basically putting detergent all over our tender mucous membranes.
Oh, so you were doing Tide Pods before it was cool.
You were. I was doing them vaginally.
Wow. Wow. The kids today need to get on your level.
Yeah.
That's the next TikTok trend is Tide suppositories.
Yes, suppositories. Right.
No.
They're very bad for those who might be prone to urinary tract infections and probably made everything much worse. So no bleach wipes. Sorry.
No bleach wipes. Well, listeners, give it a shot. See if my method works for you.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right, TERFs and trannies. I think that you have gotten to the end yet again of another episode of Heterodorks.
Thanks for hanging with us this long, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.